This is the South Florida High School Sports Show with your host, Larry Bluestein, on 560 WQAM.
And that is us.
And we welcome you in on this Monday, our national championship Monday. And certainly a happy new year to everybody, as we were off last week, a very rare thing for this show. We're on every week, whether it's Monday or Tuesday. And certainly as we begin a new year, a lot of great things happening. National championship game tonight featuring Clemson and Alabama. Players on both sides that are from South Florida. So obviously a lot of things going on. Danny with us, Danny G with us tonight. Is going to be up until 9 o'clock. We have a great show. Everything topical for you. Just got back from the All-Star Games where our programs, we did real well, whether it be in Orlando last Thursday at the Under Armour game or the Army All-American game on Saturday. As you could tell, I have a little bit of a cold from going out all over the place. But setting the table now for all of you joining us for the first time, and for those of you always checking us out, whether it's here or on our website, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, on WQAM.com, or our many blogs, our Facebook, our Twitter, we always talk about the phases of the year, and we just came out, obviously, of the season, state championships, then the holidays, and now what we're into, we're getting into combines, and we're getting into all-star games for the seniors, combines for the underclassmen, still about 3.5 weeks to go before the second national signing day, first Wednesday in February, will be coming up. We'll be glued to that big time because we have a lot of programs still, including Miami, that hasn't been able to get a full roster of teams coming up. Tonight's show, about 8:45 or so, Andrew Ivins will join us, 247 Sports Inside the U. He'll break down what has been going on, coaching changes, as you heard on with Joe Zagacki earlier on the Hurricane Hotline, new defensive coordinator in town. Had an opportunity to listen to a little bit of him. We'll talk a little bit, a lot. Hurricane recruiting, Andrew Ivins, who had an opportunity to watch the All-Star game. We have two All-Star games in town. On Friday, the Miami Dolphins contest, Dade Broward, always exciting, always competitive, will be at Traz Powell. And on Saturday, Mario Smith and his True Foundation public versus private game, which will be held in MacArthur High School in Hollywood. Two awesome games to check out. Grad seniors, but you got to remember, not all the kids need places to go. There's some guys that have already already signed and want to play in those games. Obviously, it's a lot of fun and a lot, you know, it's prestigious. Dade versus Broward has always been a war of one type or another. About 8:20 or so, Coach Benedict Hippolyte from Carroll City, he had the honor of being on the coaching staff for the Army All-American game, and he's still out in San Antonio for the coaches' convention that started today. He'll join us as well. But we start things off, as we mentioned, with the Dolphins' annual Miami-Dade versus Broward All-Star game. Always a tremendous event. As you know, the Dolphins throughout the course of the year, not only this, but they have their Friday night live telecasts that Joe and Bo did. I got a really honor to sit in a couple of times this past year. Tremendous event. They do so much for the community year-round. Now they're inviting teams throughout the year to go watch practice, to be involved, but certainly somebody who's been really at the forefront of that, and he and Twan Russell have elevated this this program and the youth program, and Troy Drayton's kind enough to join us on Championship Monday evening. Troy, thanks so much for taking the time, and Happy New Year.
Hey, same to you, Larry. How you doing?
Good, good. I'm waiting for Friday's game, and every year, and we see it, Troy. Last year at Western, years before, always competitive games. You know, they get after it for four quarters. A lot of pride on the line. Talk about the game and how it's evolved into, what is this, the eighth year coming up?
Yeah, this is actually our eighth year hosting the game, and, you know, you know, I started working for the Dolphins almost 8 years ago, and that's when we started this game. And It turns out every single year, it turns out to come down to almost like the last possession. And when you look at it, you know, we partner with GMAC and you know, BCAA, which is the Greater Miami Athletic Conference and the Broward County Athletic Association. We partner with those guys. And basically the game is basically for the standout seniors in both Broward and Dade County. They compete in this game. And when I tell you they compete, you know, they compete. There's a lot of pride when it comes to being from Broward and being from Dade.
Sure.
And, you know, these guys take that to the field. And it's intense. It's an intense rivalry. And we get some great games. We have some great players playing. You know, we have some great coaches. Tyrone Johnson is coaching Dade County this year, and also Richard Dunbar is coaching Broward County. So I expect this to be a defensive war when it comes to our eighth game this year.
Yeah, and you mentioned two tremendous coaches, Coach Johnson at Hialeah Miami Lakes, and certainly Coach Dunbar, who has, we've had him on the show and talked to him about what it is and how tough it is to win at Fort Lauderdale. You know, this is a school that, you know, isn't known for recruiting. They don't go out and, you know, it's more of an academic-minded program that they have there. So for him to do that, and also for Coach Johnson, and this is so good because of the fact that this isn't something that the Dolphins just landed right here and said, oh, well, we're going to have an all-star game. Throughout the course of the year, you guys are there every Friday. You host of events. And the new thing that you started, and I think I like it a lot, is having the teams throughout, whether it's OTAs or whether it's spring or, you know, whatever it is. But they come over, observe practice, get a chance to, go around, eat some lunch, do stuff. Talk about that, because I think that's so important. By setting that foundation, it's like, hey, the Dolphins are doing this year-round. They're not just having an all-star game.
I think that was a collaborative effort between, you know, the head coach, Miami Dolphins, who used to be Coach Gase.
Right.
And also Jason Jenkins. And, you know, we wanted to find a way to engage high school students, engage high school football players, not only high school football, but girls' flag as well.
Yes.
So we've hosted girls' flag, and basically what we've done is we brought out high school football or girls' flag, and we brought them out to OTAs, and they had a chance to actually watch practice, kind of get close enough to practice but far enough away.
Sure.
Where they, you know, they came to the sideline. But just to really see how our football players work. But afterwards, they had a chance to engage with the players, get autographs, take pictures. And also, you know, the head coaches also get a chance to engage with our head coach. And I think we've done a great job at trying to get all the high schools involved. And our goal with that is to get all the high schools from Broward, Dade, and Palm Beach to come through our program in some way, shape, or form. So,
yeah.
You know, my new boss, Rashana Hobbs, she's tasked at doing that. And Ann Haight, who's also one of our senior managers, we're tasked with getting all of these high schools through our program. And that's something that we pride ourselves in. We want to make sure it's all-inclusive. It's not just high school football. It's also girls' flag, because girls' flag is picking up,
sure,
here in the area. And it's becoming a major, major thing when it comes to high school sports. So, but, you know, just to be able to engage them and continue to do the things that we do, not only on the field but in the community. You know, we want the Miami Dolphins want to be known as a team with heart.
Yep.
And a team that engages the community. And we want to be number one at everything that we do.
Troy Drayton joining us. Troy played for two of my favorite teams, the Dolphins and the Rams. Obviously, the Rams coming up this week. You got to feel pretty good about them and the Cowboys. I know everybody's doing a lot of talking about the Cowboys. I'm trying to be humble here. I've been a Ram fan, Troy, since I was 5 years old. And I've never let go no matter where they went. And certainly what they've put together this year. And I, friend friend of mine who lives out in the L.A. area said to me, he goes, wouldn't this really suit football well if the Chargers and the Rams were in the Super Bowl? I mean,
you know what,
that... Boy, I'll tell you what, the commissioner wouldn't be liking that too much, especially you have two teams that really aren't playing in a stadium where they're going to be playing. And, but certainly with you guys, too, and you mentioned a bunch of the people who have taken part in this, and you do the Friday night thing, which is, it's a Facebook Live with Bo and Joe Rose. And that's been great, too, because it gets the coaches involved. Everybody from the staff come out. You were talking about Jason Jenkins. He's always there. And you have an opportunity to kind of show off the brand a little bit more at the high school level. How's that worked out over the last couple of years?
I think it's worked out phenomenal. And what we try to do is we try to pick, some of the best high school games on Friday. And what we try to do is we go there and we engage with both coaches from the staff. Sometimes we have Dolphins players come out to the games and do the coin toss. We also engage with the principals and the athletic directors. And, some of the celebrities who happen to come to the game. It's a tough choice just picking the teams that we're going to go out and
see. Oh, yeah.
And because you have so many exciting games going on at the same time. But we try our best to pick out all the good games, and we try to make sure that we cover the whole gamut from Palm Beach all the way down to as far as we can go, and maybe even Homestead. But, yep. I think we've done a great job at engaging our high school students this year. But, one of the things that I'm really proud of is that the Miami Dolphins were one of the first teams to broadcast high school football games on Facebook.
Yes.
That's one of the things that we really pride ourselves on. And, Jason Jenkins kind of keeps us at the cutting edge of everything because, if you're not first, you're last. So
yeah.
We always want to be first into the market when it comes to these type of things. And, we're proud to boast that, we were the first team in the National Football League to host, high school football games on Facebook Live. And, Joe and Bo, they do a great job, with the Audible and Friday Night Lights. And, it's always a lot of fun when you have those guys on because they understand South Florida. They understand, they understand the high school game. And it's just great with those guys hosting it, especially with a lot of the coaches and, all the people that we have on. So we've done a great job with that.
Yeah, and also, Troy, you talk about those two guys. Here's Bo and Joe, who are, fixtures and integral parts, of the Miami Dolphins and through history. But yet they've always immersed themselves, and I've worked with both of them with high school, and they don't come to just show up. I mean, they're prepared. They work hard, and when a Roland Smith or any of the coaches like Adam Rakovich, they'll be on. They're knowledgeable. They know about the teams. And that's important because you can get figureheads and sit behind something and they don't add a lot. But those two guys certainly do. Another thing, too, before I let you go, and I want you to give all the details of the game. Another thing that's been very popular is the kids. You recognize the youth football players, the coaches, the teams, the team moms, and also high school coaches and players every single home game. And that's so essential. Because you're taking these guys who would never, some of them can't even afford to go to a game, but they're going to a game, a big-time game, being honored before, getting their photos taken. Talk about that, because I think that's huge, too, and that's something that you pretty much remember for a lifetime.
Yeah, I always tell people, and they're always amazed when I say this, but the first professional game that I've ever attended was the game that I played in.
Oh, wow.
So I understand how important it is to make an impact when it comes to people who may not ever get a chance to be recognized. So what we do is, we have a system where we choose the high school player of the week, the high school coach of the week, the youth player of the week, and the mom of the week.
Team mom, right.
Team mom. So we basically honor them. And then we also have teams of the week that we have come and run out of the tunnel.
Nice.
And this year has been high school and We also honored a flag football team that's going up to Orlando to represent us at the Pro Bowl.
Sweet.
They ran out the last game, but it's just a great honor to be able to, you know, to give, you know, the mom, you know, flowers and different things like that, and a plaque, and you know, the high school player be able to give him a plaque. But also, when I talk to the high school players, I try to share a little bit of knowledge of what it's going to be like going into your first year of college.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important, just to be able to share some of my views on how things are. And I think a lot of the parents who accompany all these players and everyone that we have, they're appreciative of those words of wisdom.
Yep.
Because rarely do you get a chance to have that. And when you have a guy like myself and Tuan Russell, who not only, you know, Tuan has played football here in South Florida his whole career, and he's here in the community, and to hear those words coming from our mouths, guys who've been there, been to where they're trying to go, that those words of wisdom are invaluable.
Yep.
So
I agree.
We take a lot of pride in that, and I think we're doing a great job with that as well.
Yes, you are. Troy, Friday night, it's what time at Tras Pal?
Friday night, the game has been pushed back a little bit to 7:15.
Okay.
It's at Tras Pal Stadium. Kickoff is at 7:15, and the tickets are $7. And
cheap.
Understand that this money goes to the Broward County and the Greater Miami Athletic Conferences. We split that money up to those guys,
awesome.
And it goes back into the athletic program. So we don't take anything from it. We give all the money back to both Broward and Dade County.
Good stuff. Troy, thanks so much. We'll see you on Friday night. And don't forget to get me the rosters when you can.
I'll talk to you later.
Troy Drayton, Miami Dolphins, great guy. When we come back, Coach Benedict Hippolyte joins us live from San Antonio. Back with you on a national championship Monday evening. Larry Bluestein, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, takes you up until 9 o'clock. Thanks so much to Troy Drayton for joining us. He and the gang are heading up the Dolphins-Dade Broward game, which will be played on Friday night, 7:15 at Tras Pal Stadium in Miami. Tickets are just $7, and the rosters are going to be stacked with tremendous football players on both sides of the ball. Some kids have already signed. Others are going to use this next period to enhance what they have. One of the guys who has done it right for the last couple years under that Ice Harris coaching tree, whether it be at Hallandale or Carroll City, and certainly is as hard a worker as anyone you will find. He was rewarded by being able to coach in this year's Army All-American game. He's actually stayed out there for the coaching convention that conveniently is out there. Coach Benedict Hippolyte joins us now from San Antonio. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. Happy New Year.
Hey, Larry, how you doing? Happy New Year's, man. Thank you for having me tonight. It's always a pleasure and honor to come on this radio show here in South Florida and just talk about football and just the New Year's and everything. So I just thank you for having me.
Talk about the experience of being able to be one of, what, 9, 10 coaches that were invited to the Army All-American game, the oldest national all-star game that they have. Talk about that experience, because a lot of people don't really know how well they treat you.
Man, you know what? It was a great experience for me, man. You're talking about just watching the game on television a few years ago and just not even knowing how life would work itself out and you actually participating in such a prestigious, you know, game such as this, because, you know, although it is an All-American game, an All-Star game, the prestigiousness in it where you have a lot of guys who played in the same specific game go on to the NFL, and you're just talking about guys, especially two quarterbacks who's playing in the national championship, you know, tonight have participated in that game. Just the whole overall experience, man, of just flying you out and, you know, on a daily basis of just, you know, having that opportunity to bond with the players and coaches and different events, to go into different restaurants at night, from different meeting rooms, and just breaking down the practice structure to practicing in the Alamo Dome in the mornings, and, you know, just seeing the city for a whole different side and watching the fireworks, you know, during the New Year's come in, man, and just learning so many dynamics of the different restaurants and going on the boat through the River Rock, man. It was just a great experience. I gained a lot of knowledge and just really appreciated just this whole time. And they make it like a bowl, like a college bowl experience.
Nice.
For high school players, so they can have a good transition from high school into college football to where these guys are going to be at for the next couple of weeks and couple of months, you know, as far as making that transition to being a college football player. So also going to visit the children in the hospital, just getting these guys prepared about life, you know, outside of football, and what these guys would be doing when they sign that letter of intent and making that announcement on national television of the college of their choice that they choose to go to.
You know, Coach, too, you know, you've been blessed with an opportunity to learn from a lot of people down here. We talk about, you know, Ice Harris and everybody you've been around, and, you know, getting a little bit from Roland Smith and some of those icons down south. You have an opportunity over the last week or so to learn from some other coaches, too, that are, you know, probably thought of as well as a lot of people around the country. Talk about that too, and which, because I know you drinking a lot, and I know you during the course of watching people. How much did you learn over the last week or so?
Oh man, I learned a lot. You're talking about just
watching them coach.
Yeah, man, the organization and infrastructure from Coach Heron, who's the head football coach, who was the head football coach at South Point High School in South Carolina, and just the offensive coordinator, Jason McMahon, just how well he's prepared and put these kids in situations to be successful with the different ball drills and security, and, you know, the way they have the tempo in practice and the way they call plays and align the play, the way they create the different mismatches, and the way we break down a football schedule through the course of the practices and the things that we want to attack throughout the practice on a different daily basis, and making sure that everything corresponds with the transitioning of special teams, and, you know, just listening to guys and seeing how passionate and fiery they are from their respective states and how well that they love this game, and just listening to him and him having the opportunity to speak to the kid and saying the first time he became a head coach was at the age of 42.
Wow.
And he just talked to the kids about how all he knew was football, and he wanted to make a transition because he'd been a defensive coordinator for so long, and he applied for so many different head coaching jobs, and it never came. And so he was getting ready. He went and earned his master's degree and said, well, you know what? Let me make that transition from being a football coach to an administrator, and then a couple of miles away from where he grew up at in South Carolina, the school was built right there in his hometown.
Wow.
His hometown, and got elected to be the head coach at 42 years. And he's been a head coach for 8 years. And within that 8 year span, he's won 4 straight state championships and been to 5. So, you know, just having the opportunity to see how much of a great human being that he was. And one thing that a lot of these coaches have in common, and which I really do appreciate, man, is that they have a following in Christ and understand that the Lord Savior himself, there is no time of man's timing, but everything is always on God's timing. So everybody's just so just inspirational to always see everybody's belief about what God has to do in their lives. And, you know, I haven't been through that experience in that road to say that I had to wait to be 42 years old to be a head coach. I was fortunate to have so much great guys around me, such as Roland Smith, such as Coach Ice, coach such as Max Edwards, for these guys that I just listened to them and they poured into my life, and I just took it and allowed it to go ahead and use it for my stepping stone to become a head coach. So, you know, everybody has their own timing, and I guess God had a different platform for me at an earlier age, and I'm just thankful, and I'm just soaking it all in and for all the blessings.
No doubt. Coach Benedict Hippolyte, Miami Carroll City, joining us, took part in the Army All-American game. Another thing too, Coach, we have a lot of talent down here, no doubt. Nothing will surprise you from one Friday to the next. I mean, you know, just in your own district for the last couple of years. Talk about the talent out there. I mean, here now, these are 4 or 5 stars all the way. I mean, these aren't any 2 stars. These are all 4 or 5-star kids. The quarterback kid who I watched, the kid, I can't think of his name, but the right-handed quarterback that threw for 5 touchdowns. I mean, amazing. I mean, you look at that talent. You look at a group like that's going going to Oklahoma with the wide receivers, the quarterback, the running backs. You look at all these guys and you compare them to the kids that we have. And we had kids in that game that also did well. Talk about that and the opportunity to because you have a chance at Carroll City to coach the Naquans and the Rays and maybe, you know, a handful of those four-star-y type guys. But what about all five stars and a couple of four stars? Is there any difference or is it basically the same?
Well, I'm just thankful for being in such a great state of Florida State and being in South Florida where we're used to talent. So the one thing that I can say that South Florida has prepared me and allowed me to have is that competitive edge and that nature that we can have as human beings down there in South Florida is on any given day. Doesn't matter about the two stars, the three stars, doesn't matter if I'm 5'6", 5'9", 6 feet. We're going to compete. And that was one thing that I had an opportunity to talk to the team, and I told them, if it's one thing that you're going to get up out of me and that I want you to take back to your respective places, no matter what you do in life, no matter if it's that job, no matter if it's that young lady you want to be your girlfriend or to marry one day or a school, you have to compete. Sure. Life is all about compete. It's nothing that's going to be handed to you. And these guys took on that personality, like the kid like Nolan Smith from ING going to Georgia, just watching him, how well he prepared, how well he was on time to practice every day. He got the guys fired up in the locker room. It was never a dull moment with him. When those guys were in the locker room and they were being lackadaisical and they were taking their time, he was coming in there and providing that energy and making sure that he was letting the guys know that you better bring your A game and come 110% because I'm going to bring mine every single time that I step on that field. And he brought that energy. And the rest of the group, especially on the East team, they took on that personality. Each time that we took that football field for practice, no matter what it was, we took it with a purpose. And to watch the way these guys fly around,
right,
the way these guys make plays, the ability to see it at a high level. I'm looking at these young men from the East to the West team, and I'm like, man, it's like watching a Georgia, Clemson, Alabama team right in front of my face, all in one area. You know, but the thing that I respected the most was they all took on coaching.
Yeah.
So that's respected by their coaches, their high school coaches, and so much of a great job that high school coaches do as a whole across the country is getting these young men prepared to being receptive to this thing called protocol, no matter who the coach is, no matter about what life is about. These guys were really respectful. These guys really took coaching, and I was really appreciative. I know they were great football players, but I was just really more appreciative about their personality. It was one of those things where when it was all said and done, we won that game, we shook hands, and everybody had a part ways for the week. I just felt like those were my kids that I had for 4 to 3 years just on the respect factor and the conversations on what happened with these young men. That's what I respected the most in this All-Star game. We know it's an All-Star game, but it's always something that always got to separate these kids other than their talented ability. Because a lot of kids have talented ability, right? So you get your two stars and your three stars. But what separates you to allow you to play in such a game like this, the prestigiousness? And it's one thing, character. And these guys had that.
Yeah, no doubt. And it sounds like you had an awesome time. And now your attention when you get back going to the 2019 season, playing 4A, definitely an opportunity with a lot of new faces on this team. You come in this spring with a lot of optimism, a lot of kids that returned from last year. And talk about that, what the month of January and February is going to be like for you guys.
Oh, man, it's definitely going back to the basics and the fundamental. You win the state championship in the weight room. I'm also the track coach, so getting these guys on their track and getting them ready to have that ability to be endured through the course of a football game and the ability to have that speed to be able to stretch the field vertically and play sideline to sideline. So those are the number one thing that we want to focus on is just building the state championship in the weight room and building it also on that track, man, because, you know, and focus on the three things that we want to go ahead into the new year is number one, having a stout defense, playing lights out on defense. Number two, creating a good running game to where we can control the clock and create rest. And number three, special teams of just controlling the field position battle. So we believe in those three things. If we have that, we'll be successful. And it's for the rest of my life in this coaching thing. No matter where I go, no matter where I land, no matter where I'll be, I will always take this one thing with me. Dependability is greater than your ability.
Nice.
And once we have those as a group, we'll be fine.
Good stuff. Coach, again, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us. Congratulations on being named to that All-Star staff, and enjoy yourself. Which you never do. You're always too up key, and you're too worried about everything. So kind of relax for a couple of days and have a sandwich or something. All right,
thank
man.
You.
Thanks so much. Enjoy the game. Take care. The coach, Benedict Hippolyte, Carroll City, he's going a million miles an hour, as you could tell, all the time. Young guy, but has done a tremendous job and wherever he's been. As we told you, All-Star game this weekend, Friday night, Dolphins, Dade Broward. And on Saturday is the True Foundation public versus private, a game that has really, really started to climb the ladder. Everybody wants to play in it. Everybody wants to attend it. Well covered. Somebody who has the vision at the beginning, Mario Smith, from way in the beginning. Remember the first year we did combine, we did everything that went along with it. It has been successful. People really have emerged and gone on to the next level. And Mario Smith is kind enough to join us here on National Championship Monday. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. And wow, where has the time gone? I remember where that first one when we did it.
Yes, indeed. The first one when it was cold, about 32 degrees.
We did the combine in the morning, and we had to move it inside. It was so cold and rainy, but the nighttime was great. The kids had a good time, and this game has really taken off. I mean, this is – I know we had big plans at the beginning. You had kids from Connecticut and a couple of other places come down and take part, but now it's just a South Florida deal and doing really well. Talk about that and all the things that you guys have done during the offseason that associates itself with the game as well.
Well, I tell you, it has come a long way from where we first started. Now you look 10 years down the line and say, wow, where's all the time gone? And I hear you just speaking with Hippolyte. He's coached in the last two, and he's been a tremendous help in helping the public team get up to 5-4. And we're looking to, like later down the line, bring him and Rav back. Those are some of the coaches that have been successful in these type games and
sure.
Just helping these kids get to the next level. So it's really the kids who are searching for maybe that next film to be seen by the next college for this next signing day. Those are the kids that we really go after, and it's the game that suits them. So it's definitely been a tremendous time just having the ability to help kids gain scholarships, gain notoriety, and just overall have build some camaraderie with some players they never knew for some time.
And, exactly.
And in 2 weeks that the practice takes place.
You know, too, Mario, the one thing about this game also is that it gives that additional film. If a kid is looking for a school, you know, maybe at a smaller school, but he needed some extra film, maybe injured down the stretch, maybe for the last couple of games of the season and didn't have it. This gives it to him because you get some practice, you also get some game film. And I've noticed, and you know, as we see these games every single year, that a lot of these kids use this as a springboard. And I know you're huge into the education part, so there being a football coach, as you've been pretty much all your adult life, and also an educator, you've combined something that works. I mean, you know, the understanding that if you don't get the grades, you don't get the scholarships. I mean, you've really put that in motion. Talk about that and how beneficial it's been to some of these student athletes who have really worked hard in the classroom.
Well, I think if you set the bar early for kids, they understand what points that they have to meet in order to play. And that goes a long way when coaches are looking for kids and maybe their best kid didn't qualify at that point in time. So now you're next up to bat. So the one thing that we say, if you stay ready, you never have to get ready. And that's with grades and that's with performance and just letting the kids understand that if you're in a place to where it comes down to you have your grades in order and the next guy doesn't, you automatically get the nod, you know, if your talent is right there neck and neck. So, and that goes a long way with them getting into college and doing the same thing. So we definitely implement that so it can carry over into the next level and just give kids that sense of education goes with football all
sure.
the way through from the time that you're small to the maybe not even let's say even into the NFL, because 90% of that is learning in the classroom and 10% of it is going to practice. So it's a pattern that kids need to understand that there are no, because you get graded on those levels as well, you know.
Sure.
So there are no, let's say, per se, people that have low grades in football. So you want that type of image for these young men.
And, you know, when I take a look at it, and I know you've been so education-oriented going back to high school and being around the kids at Pace and the students all the time for years and years and years, you saw what it took from both ways. And a lot of people don't get a chance to do that because you've been an education-minded guy who understands and understood at a young age that if you don't get it done there, you're not going to get it done anywhere else because you'll never be given the opportunity. A lot of these kids understand that now. You have a game in this public versus private game, Coach, that these kids get it. I mean, they get what it takes. They've done what they can do, and you've given them the best of both worlds. Talk about that, because I think that's important for the parents listening, even if your kids aren't of high school age yet but will be coming up, how valuable it is and how you're judged on what you do in the classroom.
It's way valuable. And let me plug or just be able to say, being an educator, we've taken it to the next step. Now we own a school, which is True Prep Academy.
Right.
And it's an all-male school in which we promote sports, but we hold the kids accountable for their learning in that school. And it's just that important, because if you know that when you're going into high school, you have to meet these core requirements, those are things that you're going to tackle right now. You're going to get into those things, and you're going to make sure that the kids align with those standards that the NCAA is asking about. So as a coach now going into the owner's box of being able to control the kids that come in at that point in time and giving them that, and the parents, that education about the sport and what all it takes is very valuable to that kid's growth,
yeah.
Mentally, physically, and socially, just making a well-rounded kid, you know, to where you can put them in the place to be successful from the time that they reach high school and well beyond.
Yeah, and I mean it's a great great thing. I know you talked about it for years and developing it. In the minute we have left, give us the details about the game on Saturday, time, location, everything that we need to know.
This year we'll play the game at Ivan State Park,
okay.
And it's going to take place at 4:30 p.m. And we are looking for everyone to come on out and support these kids that are playing in this game. These kids. If you want to see an all-star game where these kids just play and play their hardest, because they're going out there to really, you know, that rivalry, private versus public. They go out there and they get after it, you know, for four quarters.
Yes,
and,
yes.
These are the kids that are looking for that scholarship, and that's why we promote the game in the way that we do, because these kids actually get out and show you a show. We don't really have blowouts. These kids play to the end, and it's exciting for us because you can see in the last two or three minutes, these kids are coming down to the wire, games being won by 1 point, 3 point, field goal. So it's exciting to be in those type of games where you're on the edge of the seat and you see these kids just enjoying themselves have fun after it. So
good stuff.
We definitely want to invite everybody to come out and see us. A True Sports Foundation, private versus public all-star game being played at Ives Estate Park, 4:30 on Saturday. Come out and support these kids. Thank
Good
you.
Stuff. Mario, thanks so much. We'll see you on Saturday. Thanks. When you get all the rosters, get it to us, and we'll get it out there.
Thank you. We appreciate you.
Anytime. Coach Mario Smith does a tremendous job. You have a chance to go over there on 4:30 on Saturday at Ives Park, right there at Ives Dairy Road 95. Do so. When we come back, you don't want to miss this, Hurricane fans. Andrew Ivins will join us from 247 Sports next.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Back to wrap things up with you on a national championship Monday where Clemson leads Alabama 14-7 in the opening quarter. Thanks so much to Troy Drayton, who joined us in the first segment, Coach Benedict Hippolyte, and also Mario Smith from the True Foundation public versus private game that will be taking place on Saturday, 4:30 at Ives Park. Now we turn our attention to probably the hottest topic in South Florida. I know that finding a Dolphins head coach is paramount, but the Miami Hurricanes have been in the news daily for one reason or another the last couple of weeks, maybe a month, because of the fact that the recruits that decommitted, coaching changes, head coach steps down, new coach brings in, you know, all these different changes. And the Hurricane fans are going crazy. And certainly somebody who has been close to the situation, and it doesn't make it any better for him that he gets a lot of the feedback, but certainly Andrew Ivins is plugged in like nobody else. And kind enough to join us this evening. Andrew, thanks so much for taking the time. And this is one time a year, probably for the last couple of weeks, I don't envy your job, because you've been a hot topic guy on the internet. People are not always happy with what you report to them, but nevertheless, you're doing a great job. Talk about that, and welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Blue, for having me on. It's kind of funny. I was talking with one of my coworkers yesterday, and we said 1 week ago we were writing that Mark Richt was retiring, and I'm like, that feels like it was about 2 months ago.
It so does.
A lot has happened here as of late on the Miami beat, but I mean, this is why you're in the industry, so
yeah.
Just gonna cover it all.
You've got an opportunity now in this last three plus weeks before the second quote unquote national signing day, with a new coach, new defensive coordinator that was named, and he was on the show with Joe Zagacki earlier, and a couple of new pieces here and there, new strength and conditioning coach. You've got to put out all stops over the last 3 weeks, and I'm sure that part of their meeting today was centered around that. Talk about that and what the targets are, because no more is Tyreek Stevenson and Chris Bogle targets. Now Miami has to be resourceful. They have to kind of really recruit, look under almost every branch possible for any athlete that may help them. Talk about what you know now and what you expect over the next couple of weeks.
Well, it's a bit of a unique situation. I think that we don't know the exact numbers of how many kids signed during that early signing period, but I think last year it was 70% of the kids came off the board in December, and then everyone was fighting for that final 30%. So you mentioned Chris Bogle. He picked Alabama on Saturday. I don't think that recruitment's over. You talk to anyone associated with that recruitment, anyone close to the kid, they think he shouldn't even have made an announcement in San Antonio. I mean, he could have gone either way. So I think Miami's still going to make a look there. But you're right, the staff did meet on Monday. There's no offensive coaches there, but the defensive coaches kind of got together. There's some names that have already kind of emerged from that meeting. I know they're going to go after. They just offered a defensive end out of Georgia, Jadarian Boykin. He's a 6'2". 245 kid, real explosive off the edge. I think they're going to try to make a run at him, and then they're just going to kind of go around and kind of find and see what they can see what's out there. I think the biggest takeaway for me is what Coach Diaz said. I think it was in his introductory press conference last Wednesday. Again, I feel like it was weeks ago. He said they're not going to just reach and take guys. And I think Josh Darrow, one of the greatest guys, or I know you're close with him. He had a good saying is. You can miss on a kid, but reaching for a kid can really set you back. So I don't think Miami's just going to take kids, but it's going to be interesting to see what they're able to find. And I think we're going to see a lot of grad transfers. I think Miami's really going to kind of covet that market.
Andrew Ivins joining us, 247 Sports. You made a good point, as far as some of these kids now coming in and these coaches that have, that have some ties with some of these kids from the past that they were recruiting, or maybe they did recruit, as you mentioned, grad transfers. How much is that going to come into play, these past relationships? Because right now, I mean, we talk about one player like the quarterback from Buffalo, and the receiver from Buffalo. Next thing you know, quarterbacks are going to the NFL and the receiver's in limbo. Anybody else of like that you've heard of, or is that something that they're going to have to explore over the next couple of weeks?
Well, they just offered a defensive lineman out of from UCLA. I'm not even attempt to pronounce his last name. I'll butcher it. I'm not good on the Nigerian last names, but they just offered him. He's a guy who I think started his sophomore season, didn't play as much this past year, so he's looking for a new home. The thing to think about this all with Miami is Miami's a pretty attractive destination for graduate transfers. Just look what they've done in the past. You know, Dee Delaney, the cornerback out of Citadel a year before, Tito Obugino, or I don't even know how to say his name. He played this past year. So Miami has a track record. Adrian Colbert, he's another one of actually bringing these guys in and these guys having success. So we'll see. It's still kind of early, but I know Miami is very active and looking for some quarterbacks. And we'll see. I mean, maybe Jalen Hurts, who's playing in the title game tonight, maybe he decides to get a graduate transfer. And you would think Miami would definitely give him a call. Again, though, it's going to come down to who Manny hires as his offensive coordinator and what direction the offense goes.
Do we still hear, Andrew, about Major? Is he still the guy or is he not the guy? I mean, last week he was signed, sealed, and delivered. Then all of a sudden we were at the Under Armour game. Next thing I know, he's not. So where is he at now?
Well, from what I heard last week, you know, there had definitely been contact between the two parties between Manny and Major. I think Major is definitely interested in the job, but I was told that a deal was there were still some hurdles that needed to be cleared if that deal was going to happen. Now I think he's still in the mix. Another name that I've heard tossed around as of late is Brian Wright, who's the offensive coordinator at Toledo. If you remember, actually when I was in school at Florida,
he was
the interim head coach there for four games. I think he would be maybe not the splashiest, sexiest hire for the Canes fans, but he's a guy who knows his X and O's. He's obviously been down here. He's been a play caller for an offense that's ranked inside the top 30 for the past three seasons. Actually a real good recruiter, and a lot of people don't know this. He actually pulled an Elite 11 quarterback out of Jacksonville a few cycles ago in Carter Bradley. So, it would probably come down to, I mean, if he was the guy, then I think they need to go and get some dog recruiters to kind of fill out that staff at the position coaches, but he's a name that I've heard definitely to keep an eye on. I'm not saying he's the guy. I have no idea what's going to happen. It could be Major. It could be Brian Wright. It could be someone. It could be Jeff Scott, who's at Clemson tonight in that game. He's another guy that I think Barry Jackson tossed out there. So we'll see.
But it's got to be soon, obviously, because you're in that cycle now for this, you know, still to get. And I know and I realize they don't want to rush into anything and just pick kids to pick kids. But once you have an offensive coordinator, you know, you could start selling him, you know, instead of the team.
Right.
And obviously it's, it's a lot better to go to a quarterback and say, well, we got this guy rather than, hey, we're going to get this guy. And
right.
I understand that. And I'm probably, you know, Manny has a lot of sleepless nights because that's a huge cog, especially in the next 3 weeks.
It is. And the contact period, I think, opens on Thursday or Friday. I believe Miami's coaches are going to get out on the road. I haven't heard of anyone that they're going to host this upcoming weekend for an official visit. So I don't really think Miami needs to have an OC in place by this weekend. But I think by early next week, you definitely need a guy just because you're eliminating the amount of weekends you have for official visits. You want to start bringing kids in. So I don't think it needs to be by Friday, but I would say by Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday next week, it'd be nice from a recruiting standpoint just to have someone in.
Andrew Ivins joining us, Inside of You, 247 Sports. Another thing is we're already in that next cycle. We had an opportunity to see some young kids up at the Under Armour for the Future 50. Talk about this next cycle. There's some really good kids, and we watched them. And Miami's in on a few. You know, we saw Sam and Ellie up there. Talk about a couple of other kids. Maybe Miami has some early targets for 2020. They had in the past, but obviously Jaden and a couple of other kids have backed off for now. Not to say that they're going to permanently back off, but I guess they just wanted to, you know, kind of reevaluate things. What are some of those kids for this next cycle, this 2020 class, look like?
Right, you're talking about the Under Armour Future 50 camp where they kind of try to get the top 50 juniors in there. I should say South Florida was pretty well represented. I think my biggest takeaway from that camp is my stock is really high right now on Brian Robinson, the wide receiver out of Palm Beach Central.
Yep.
You know, I was with a bunch of my colleagues there, the national rankings team, and guys kept coming to me like, hey, you know, if I had to pick a receiver, I really like this Brian Robinson kid. And I thought, you know, he's committed to Miami. He says he's 100% locked in. We'll see. We all know how that goes down here with these early commitments. But I think whoever Miami hires as a wide receivers coach, he needs to be the first call you make. I thought he was excellent. He looked like probably the number two wide receiver at that camp. DeMarcus Bowman also looked real good. yeah. The running back out of Lakeland. I think we've talked about him last time I was on the show.
To him. He's talking about Clemson. Well, why not? I mean, they're in this national championship game. And Tim Smith, a couple of the other, I watched a couple of those guys in the game. I mean, there's so much talent. And you know, one thing too is Miami doesn't just have to go to South Florida. As you mentioned, Georgia, they're looking at. They could go out of state now. They got the brand, and obviously, you know. I know the fans will give him heat for not recruiting down South Florida, but if you're going to get comparable kids that want to be here, don't you agree?
Yeah, I think Miami and Manny Diaz, they need to – and I know Manny's always going to be recruiting right. The Tri-County area. I think they need to take a self-assessment and go, hey, are we going to keep, you know, going after the Chris Vogel and the Tyree Stevensons and the Braylon Ingrahams, or maybe we should start looking – into other parts of Florida, and because what they're doing right now is not working. I mean, they keep, you know, they're taking the hot girl to the dance, and she's leaving with someone else. It's happened time after time, and I don't know how they change that, but
they have
to.
Yeah, you're right. You're good stuff, Andrew. Again, thanks so much. Go enjoy this Ford. Wow, it's kind of a high scoring first quarter. A lot of people may not have expected that, but again, we'll follow you all the time, man. Thanks so much for your contributions. We'll keep in, and when anything else goes, we'll get you back on again.
All right, Blue. Good seeing you.
You too. Good stuff. What a great show. Danny, thanks so much for what you do. We're back next week. Keep tuned to SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com every single day.